not working long hours either. I worked 2 hours, 3 hours in the family tree stuff.
Heather, what are you eating?
There's a lot of stuff here.
Soup?
What kind?
Potato.
Will you hold the spoon to the camera?
Mm-mm. Potato?
Potato.
What is this, Russia?
All right, you guys ready to get into it?
Wait, do you like my new work chair?
I do like it. Has everyone got their dice?
No.
I don't like the color.
I don't know where mine are. Can you just send me the link again to the thing?
Yep.
My kids took them out at one point and...
then they were gone.
They ate them?
Yeah.
All right, there's the link to the dice. Nice. Okay, so you guys ready?
Yep.
All right, here we go. All right, so after spending some time trying to steal stuff in the West Meta Castle, you guys are finally on the road with Iaruta and Ithua, and you're headed out into the desert. You're headed to the Malik's Oasis to try to figure out what exactly was the reason behind the poisoning of the Forno elves. Because that is a mystery. This is what we call in D&D a side quest, because it is not your main quest, which is to figure out why the town is having stuff being disappeared. So you guys are headed out across the drawbridge.
What's the side quest?
You're going with Ithua and Iaruta to figure out why they got poisoned from that person that you killed, Darlene Muscles. Darlene Muscles. Because she had the distinctive... First of all, she's human. And she had the distinctive Malik tattoo that they all get.
What was our main quest again?
To figure out why buildings are disappearing in... the town of Pustinia.
Gotcha.
All right. So
what was our side quest?
Oh, come on.
Help them figure out why they got poisoned.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, so as you head out across the drawbridge, it's nighttime as usual. If you'll recall, this part of this part of the land is always like it's dark out like most of the time at this time of year because it's so far north. So it hasn't really been day but for like a couple hours. So it's nighttime and you're heading out into the desert. Now as you head down the mountains, you can see clearly the desert before you because you're heading north. You can see Pustinia, the lights from Pustinia, kind of off to the right. And you're kind of headed in a direction that's just straight ahead north from the mountains. So the right being slightly to the
east.
To the east. And so, yeah. And that's where you're at. And don't forget... Helahana has stolen a package here from someone in the room.
I did forget that.
I don't know
why I did that.
What? Now, I can't remember. You went into one of the rooms and stole something, but I can't remember why.
It was for the fun of it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So, so yeah, you're headed out. And, Iaruta and Ithua, they don't have the body of Darling Muscles. They left it behind because they didn't want to cause more trouble than need be. So it's just you guys just with your party and the equipment that you're bringing with you, and you guys are walking across the desert. So it takes a couple days to get to where you're going. So you make camp in the desert one night and sleep there, and you get up the next day in the darkness and head out again. And sometime during the middle of the day, it's still dark out. You're heading into the region north of the town where the dunes begin, and you're navigating the desert up until then has been mostly flat. And then as you get north of the town, you start having to go over these big sand dunes, and they're getting bigger and bigger at each one. And there's as you get down, they're kind of staggered so that as you get into them, you stop being able to see anything. You can't see the mountains. You can't see where you're going. You just see dunes and they're hilly, so you can't really tell what direction you're going. However, Ithua and Iaruta seem to have a good sense of where they're headed. So you're headed up, you're headed up a dune, you guys start to feel a little funny all of a sudden. It's like a tingling. And, now I want everyone to roll a constitution throw.
What?
A constitution throw.
Okay.
How do we do that?
It's a d20 and add your constitution modifier.
Ooh. I have to open that spreadsheet. I didn't open it yet. Where's the 20? Okay, here's the 21. Okay.
I got 22. What are we rolling?
A d2?
D20?
D20.
A d20?
Yeah, d20.
Wait, I got
7 with my modifier.
Sorry, what did you say, Jimmy?
I rolled a 20 and my constitution is 2, so I got 22.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Jimmy.
What did you get, Olga?
7.
And Jenkins?
11.
And Frida?
15. I forgot, where are those spreadsheets?
Google Drive.
I'll send
D&D.
Yeah, okay. I'll send the link here.
Well, that's all right. I got Google Drive open. Shared with me, it would be there, right?
Mm-hmm. 2. Wait, 0.
D&D, there it is. Okay.
Wait, am I looking in the black column for mod totals?
Yeah, unless you have a value in the purple column, you use the one in the black column.
And for which quality or which?
Constitution. Efficiency?
Constitution, okay. So I have 1.
All right.
What's your roll?
My roll was 15, so now I have 16?
Yeah. Okay, so hold on a sec. Okay. All right, so hold on, let me organize this so I can tell what goes on here. All right, so They got Okay. So, Zilmop, you barely notice. In fact, you feel great. But as you look around, you see that some of the others are not doing as well. So, and Helohana and Frida, you guys start to feel a little queasy.
That doesn't sound good.
And you're like, you feel like something is coming over you. So, and then Jenkins and Olga, it's like you're hallucinating and you see like the land come up above you almost. And it's so overwhelming that you guys are knocked down, and I'm going to consider you prone.
Oh no.
And then you guys see Iaruta and Ithawa actually like fall down, and then they kind of like get they like shrink down in size a little bit, and then you see like a burlap sack kind of like go around them, and then they like are in like they shrink in and they come in they become inside of a sack, like a burlap sack. They are captured. And then over one of the dunes you see three very impressive floating ships.
Oh, they're the same ships that
like the Santa Maria, the the other two.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, so
then because we have no understanding of ships in our culture, so therefore it's invisible to us.
I gotta roll some dice real quick. So I'm gonna use these rolls as initiative rolls also. And so we're in an initiative. We're in the bullet time. So the ships that come over, there's two smaller ones and one big one. And you see there are... So Frida, these are the same ships that you saw before. Except for before you just saw the big one. But now there's like two slightly smaller ones there as well. I believe when you encountered them before, you saw the two characters sitting on the deck of the big one, which there was like a goblin. Hold on.
That was years ago.
Yeah, it was years ago. In fact, I have to find where it is in this document. Okay, you saw a goblin and like a kind of like a white amorphous blob that spoke to you. And then on the other ships, there's a bunch of orcs. So there's six orcs. There's two on each of the smaller ships and two on the big one. And so they're coming in hot and they like get right around you. They surround the party. They're like, they jump off and they're like weapons ready to attack. So I'm going to roll one for each of these guys. So I'm going to say they are 12.
How did I escape from them before?
You went out the window of a moving vehicle. You jumped out the window.
A moving vehicle.
Okay, so Murphy is 17 and Captain is 5. Okay, so the goblin on the deck of the main one, he says, "Well, well, well, look who it is. You thought you could get away from us."
Wait, are these goblins or orcs?
There's a goblin on the big ship and six orcs spread out, and then there's like an amorphous blob that is floating around. Let's see. So he says, this time you're not going to get away. and so with that, we're going to jump into action. And Zilmop, you had the best response. So they cast a spell on everyone and you were able to resist it completely.
Nice.
Oh, wait, sorry. Let me finish describing. I have to describe more about these ships. So like the big ship is like easily like maybe 2.5 times larger than the smaller ships. There's obviously like multiple layers to the bigger ship. The smaller ships are like, look a bit like fishing boats, and they have like, there's like a pillar in the center, and on top of the pillar, there's like a giant glowing orb thing.
Heck.
And each of them have it. With that, I'll leave it to you, Zilmop.
Wait, what?
We're in bullet time in battle mode, and you're up because you had the most dexterous response.
Okay, let me see what.
Oh, who is that?
Should I do my old arrow trick?
Arrow?
The double arrow?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Why'd you say who's that?
Who's the... There was a kitty. I guess that was Bernie. Where?
This one. It's this okay.
It's Bernie.
If only Bernie was kind, like Chi-Chi.
She is kind. Look at her.
I mean, that's the only thing practical because everything else is close combat.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just specify. I'm going to say they're like at this moment they're still on the ships, and some of them are floating, it like high above the ground, and some of them are floating close to the ground because you're on a hill. So like, and they're surrounding you. So I'm going to say the big ship. Here, let me think about it like this. You're going up a dune and your party's in the middle and there's one on each side and there's one ship that's like floating out in the middle of like, cause they're, yeah. And it's high above the ground. And then the other two are closer to the ground.
Where's the big one?
The ones that are closer to the ground are the more imminent threat.
Yeah. But I'm going to say that all of like, in just terms of like as the bird flies distance, all of the people are roughly speaking 50 feet away.
So yeah, they're going to need a couple arrows to the heads.
All right, let's see what happens.
Is 50 far for an arrow?
Okay, so you're going to but who are you going to aim at?
The ones closer to the ground.
Well, which one, though?
And there's two?
There's two of them.
One's closer.
Well, okay. I will...
How about the one with the either the orc or the... What's the other guy?
The goblin.
Goblin.
And the amorphous blob.
There's orcs on all of the ships.
Mm. Shoot the amorphous
has
blob.
Has the fewest amount of orcs on it?
Sorry, what?
Which one has the fewest orcs on it?
They all have the same amount of orcs because there's six orcs and three ships.
Look at Chi-Chi.
Okay.
So, let's just say if you want to aim... here, I'll give you... The orcs actually have names. I'll just give you the names so we can be clear. So there's Steak Knife, Johnny New York, Aglathath, Mirabald Poss, Crumbly, and Talkie. So let's say Steak Knife and Johnny New York on one, Aglethath and Mirabald Plosser on the other, and then Crumbly and Talkie are on the main ship.
What was it? Agly?
Aglethath?
Yeah, but I don't understand. Out of the two
go for the main
short boats.
Go for Mirabald Pulse.
How am I supposed to know which one's more of a threat?
You don't know.
Johnny New York, eh?
All right. Well, I mean, I'll just go for one of the smaller ships, smaller boats.
Okay. Let's just say you aim towards Steak Knife and Johnny New York's ship. So, if you're going to do the double arrow, I'm going to make you roll twice. Don't forget.
All right.
All right.
Okay, so.
What do I add to it?
So first you're going to add, so you're going to do a dexterity roll and then a strength roll.
All right. All right, here we go. Damn it.
What you got?
Three.
Okay. The first arrow slips out of your hands because you're so intimidated by all the boats.
Oh. And the second arrow, roll again.
Maybe because that die hit my computer before it. Maybe I should roll it again.
No, Jimmy, yeah. Stop trying to cheat.
Wait, I thought that was all the right. Charity roll.
Ooh, 16.
All right, so...
plus... Wait, was that my dexterity or strength?
Strength.
Plus 3, so that's 19.
Okay, so you're able to get one... Let's say Johnny New York is standing bravely on the bow of the ship, and you hit him right in the chest with the bow. So go ahead and roll damage for that, which is... 1d8.
Poor Johnny.
Ooh. Oh, man. It's a 3, not an 8.
All right. So you get him, like, kind of in the shoulder, and he's, like, clearly shaken up, but he's not... he's not severely injured at all. And all right, so with that, do you want to move at all with your turn, or do you want to stay put?
I'll still play.
No, I mean, do you want to move in the landscape of the
desert?
Your character can move up to 30 feet per turn.
All right, I'll move 30 feet.
So where do you want to go? Actually, you're 25 feet. But
go down.
I'm at the highest point of the dune right now?
No, you guys are kind of in the middle of the dune.
Oh, let's go up.
How tall is the dune?
All right, so you want to head up the hill?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to try to keep track of this with some thingies. All right, so you're headed up.
From the guy.
You're headed up the hill. All right, and so now it is Helahana's turn.
Wake up, Helahana.
Yes.
It's your turn.
All right, what is the decision that I'm facing?
Save us.
Are there any animals on the ships?
You don't see any.
Can I do a perception check?
Yeah. Do you know how to do that?
Do I roll a d20?
Yep. Add your add your intelligence.
The black one or the purple one?
The purple one.
So 6 plus 16.
So you get a sense that the orbs on top of the smaller ships are the ones that are actually responsible for casting the spell on you guys, and also putting
thing?
Yeah, the two orbs, they're like responsible for this spell, and that they are the ones that put Ithawa and Iruta into the tiny little sacks, which they are now just sitting on the sand. You get the sense that the goblin looks a little bit like he's maybe not all there or something. The orcs seem like grunts, like they're just fighters, like they're ready to fight. And then the cloud of vapor is mysterious to you.
Mysterious, eh?
Yep.
Hold on, let me look at my spreadsheet here. But why do I have Bort poison?
Because you took it.
Can I? I don't know what to do.
We put
just give up.
I have an invisibility potion. I don't know how that would help me though.
You could run away from everyone.
Can I throw flames at them?
Do you mean like using control flame or produce flame?
Yeah.
I think so. Let me see. D&D 5e, probably produce flame. Flame is 70. You can also attack with the flame. You can hurl the flame within 30 feet, so you're not close enough. So you would have to move to get closer.
So am I allowed to move?
Yeah, you have... What's your moving speed?
I don't know. I didn't know that was a thing.
It's in your sheet. So you can move 30 feet. It's an B12 is your speed, your moving speed. So you can move close enough, and then you'd be close enough to do the spell.
Let's see that. Move close, then spell.
Which of the ships do you want to move towards?
The smallest one.
There's two that are the same size.
The bigger one.
The bigger one. Okay. So that's going to be a little bit more difficult because you're moving down the hill and it's floating above the hill.
Okay, is it still within the requisite number of feet?
Yes,
for
yes,
me?
You can do it. You can do it.
Okay, then let's do it.
Okay, so do you want... Okay, so it says you can attack with a flame, cast the spec, hurl the flame at a creature within 30 feet, make a ranged spell attack. So on the hit...
So, wait a minute. She's not hitting that orb thing. She's just throwing it at the ship? Or the orcs on the ship?
Yeah, who do you want to throw it at? So there's two orcs and the goblin and the mysterious thing on the big ship.
The mysterious thing.
Okay. All right.
Or should I throw it? Is the ship made out of wood?
Yeah, it is.
I want to throw it at the ship
Burn
itself.
It.
Okay.
I want to burn the thing.
Okay. Do you want to just hit... What part of the ship are you want to hit? Throw it towards?
The most flammable part.
Which you don't know which one part that is, so...
There's a part that just says throw a flame here.
Turn on the X.
I don't know. Is there a sail? Are sails flammable?
There's no sails.
It's floating in the air.
Okay, but they're also ships, so.
Yeah, there's
I don't
no
know.
Sails.
It's not really logical, Mom.
Throw it towards the orb thing, the funny thing.
Yeah, right, my mom says to throw it towards the orb thing, so let's just do that. I guess
no, because you moved away from the smaller ships. The smaller ships have the orb things.
Oh, I thought they all three had one. I'm getting so confused.
Okay, let me re-describe the scene. You have six orcs. There's two on the three ships, two on each of the three ships. The two smaller ships, which are up on the upside of the hill, have two orcs on them, and they have the glowing orbs. The larger ship, which is floating out over the open space, has two orcs, the goblin, and an amorphous blob floating around. That is it's different from the orbs.
I want to throw out the blob.
Okay. All right. So just roll a d20 and do a dexterity.
I got a bad feeling about this. Oh, I knew it. I got a four.
Four with your modifier?
I have a negative one dexterity, so no, a three.
Okay. So
I should have just cheated like Jimmy.
but let's say this. It looks like a bit of a cloud. Kind of does dart away from the flame, and you weren't really close to hitting it, but you do see it move in response to your to your throw.
It's flame. Only human.
All right, and so with that, it is now Moppy the Goblin's turn.
Moppy?
Yeah, Moppy. And by the way, Moppy has a triangular head. And he has like amber eyes and like really, really like long, like the point of the triangle is the top of his head, and the bottom triangle is long. His mouth is like very, very long.
Sounds like a kitty.
And he has shoulder-length hair also.
Hmm.
Okay, so Moppy the Goblin is now going to attack Hella Hanna with the sword. So he leaps off the ship to get at you. And... oh man, that just...
I don't appreciate Moppy the Goblin.
Okay, that is a 12. And what is your AC?
I don't know what AC
is. Your armor means. Class is B11, so that's an 8. So he hits. He hits you with his sword.
Oh, I got hit by the sword.
Hold on. So I'm going to roll damage now. So... that is a 1, so you take 1 point of damage.
Okay.
So put that down in your temporary hit points.
Okay. So does that mean I have 7 of 8 now?
Yep. And now it is Frida's turn.
Okay, so this guy is attacking...
You just saw a goblin leap off the ship and slice at Hella Hanna and get a hit.
Okay, so what can I use to do that?
Do what?
What is this quarterstaff? I have one weapon.
We tried talking to them.
What?
Reasoning with them.
We tried reasoning with him, and it just didn't work.
Hmm.
What about a torch? I have a torch. I have a quarterstaff as a weapon, and I have spells. So I can put a sleep spell. I don't know what all these spells do.
How about
a firebolt?
Yeah, you can do a firebolt.
So let me do a firebolt against this guy.
Okay. Do you want to move towards him?
I guess I have to. Do I have to?
Let me see firebolt here. Firebolt. Range 120 feet, so you don't have to move at all.
Okay.
Range spell attack against the target. On the hit, the target takes 1d10 fire damage. Okay. So this is like a more hefty version of this spell that Olga cast. So go ahead and roll a d20 and add your strength.
16 plus... Where's my strength?
I guess it should be actually... What's your spellcasting modifier? Intelligence. Should be your intelligence, actually.
Intelligence is a 4. So that's 20 altogether.
No. Yeah. So it should be 6 because you have your proficiency there.
Okay.
So
22.
Okay. So you nail. Wait, sorry. Who are you shooting the goblin, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
My daughter's life.
Yeah. All
right. So you nail him. You nail him real good. All right. So go ahead and roll damage, which will be make a
roll. Damage.
A 1d10. So roll a d10.
Okay. 10. That must be this one here. No.
The ten is
It's got the diamond on both sides.
If you look at it top down, it's five sided, so it's like 5 plus 5, you know.
Well, and what is whose damage am I?
So the d20 is to see if you hit him or not, and then this is to see how much damage it causes.
3.
That's pretty good. All right, so Moppy is on fire now.
Has he run back into the ship and started on fire?
He can't quite get back onto the ship because he jumped off of it. So he's currently prone. He's on fire. Where is his stupid health? Hold on. I don't think I wrote down his health. Okay. What did you say, 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So he starts rolling around in the sand. He's not incapacitated by this, but he's definitely prone for the moment. Okay. And did you want to move anywhere for your turn?
No.
Zilmop has ran up the hill and Helahana has ran down the hill.
No, I'll stay with Jenkins and Olga.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now the orcs are going to attack. Let's see. Steak Knife and Johnny New York, both of the, let's see. So they're the ship that Zilmop attacked. Johnny New York sees Zilmop run up the hill and he leaps off and starts chasing Zilmop. And so he gets within like 5, 10 feet of you. And then Johnny New York stays on the ship. let me see these guys here. They have javelin. So
I think steak knife needs to be bludgeoned with a staff.
Yeah.
So
option.
Johnny, or sorry, Steak Knife is going to throw a javelin towards the party. Let's see.
Towards, wait a minute, there's three of us together and two apart.
Towards, yeah, he's going to throw it towards the three of you that are standing together. So that's a ranged. So he's going to roll. Oh, a one. So he like overshoots and like it sticks into the boat like that's directly across from him. Does a terrible job and he says, "Dang it!" out loud. Okay. So then Aglathath and Mirabold Poss on the other boat. Aglathath is gonna throw a javelin also towards the party from the other side. And Aglathath comes a lot closer, but also misses. Mirabod Ploss jumps off the boat. Mirabod Ploss jumps off the boat and heads towards the party and gets within 5-10 feet of you guys. Crumbly.
Can we pick up the javelin and throw it back at him?
Yes, but you don't have a bonus action right now, so you can't. So then, Crumbly and Talkie, let's see, Crumbly's gonna throw a javelin towards Helahana.
No!
And that is a 16. So that hits.
Like, why are you picking on me so much?
Because you tried to set their boat on fire or whatever. Or you shot towards a...
Okay, well, they need to get a life. So leave us alone.
That does 1 point of damage.
So does that mean I'm down to 6 of 8?
Yes. All right, and so with that, it is now Olga's turn. Or no, sorry, it's Jenkins's turn.
I'm gonna have the potion.
Which one?
Bull strength.
Ooh. I look that up. I don't remember what that does.
Remember who you are.
Okay. Oh, I forgot that these are freaking not D&D 5e spells because they're from the other book. Okay, but gives you, let's say you get a +4 bonus temporary for strength and advantage on rolls.
Cool.
And it lasts, for the time being.
All right.
So you can still, do other things. If you want.
Can I attack them?
Yeah, who do you want to attack?
Well, it has to be somebody within range, right? Because I only have the scimitar or whatever.
Yeah, so you have well, you, okay, where's your thing? You have the scimitar and you have the sickle.
All the scimitar.
Yeah, and your spells. But yeah, you have the person that's chasing, you could run to get the person that's chasing Zilmop. There's a person that's like right next to you. I'll say it. So Steak Knife is chasing Zilmop, and Mirabold Poss is right next to you.
All right, I'll hack down Mirabold Poss.
Okay. Do a d20 strength. With advantage.
Four. That's... Oh, wait. That's not a d20.
It's like, congratulations, you lost.
Where the heck is my d20?
Use the link. Use the link.
Oh, there it is.
What's the link? You can just shaking a link by touching a link.
Then I add in what, zero?
Did you roll it twice?
I get to roll it twice?
Yeah, that's advantage. You get to roll it twice and take the higher number.
12.
So 12 plus 1. Okay, that hits. So go ahead and roll damage for your... What are you using? Your scimitar or your sickle?
Scimitar, I believe, is what you
mean. Scimitar.
Okay, so 1d6.
Wait. Okay.
And also add a plus 1 for strength, actually.
Three plus 1 is 4.
Okay.
Wait, don't I get plus 4 for the potion?
Oh, I'm modifying it.
Modifying what?
The potion.
What?
Because it's not D&D 5e.
Well, what do I get for it?
Plus 1 and advantage on strength rolls.
What? You said plus 4.
Did I say plus 4?
Yeah.
Wrong.
Whoa.
All right.
Besides, that's what it should be.
Michael's furious.
All right, fine. Plus 4. What is it now?
I have 7.
Okay. All right, you really get a good hit on Mirabold Poss. Do you want to, but you don't quite get her. So tell me what happens.
Why not?
Because you, but just tell me, do you want to describe the hit?
Yeah, I slashed the heck out of her.
All right. The blow lands true. And Mirabold Poss is down, but not out. Okay, and with that, it is Olga's turn.
Heather, is that Reese's peanut butter cup?
No.
Hello.
Hello.
You could have just said yes.
It's not that.
Yeah, but what is the real difference?
I'm going to do
made
of soul.
They're made with Virginia peanuts.
Mm.
In Virginia.
Whom's getting the magic missiles?
What?
It's all left alive still.
Everyone's still alive. Mirabold Poss isn't looking good. But Moppy is currently prone.
What about the guy that got burned up?
That's Moppy. He's prone, but he's okay. Mirabold Poss is not looking okay. Everyone else is looking basically fine.
Let's do the final blow to Moppy.
Okay.
Go to the big orb.
He needs to die.
Why don't you use it on somebody who isn't hurt yet?
Yeah.
Because he's going to pop back up and get me.
Okay. So, you have 3 glowing darts, actually. You can...
Yeah, I know. That was my number 1.
Okay. So, 1d4 plus 1. Go ahead and roll it.
Oh, I have to do them like one at a time.
Okay. These things are so good. Can't stop eating them.
1d4.
Yeah.
Is that this?
It's the triangle, yeah.
Okay.
Hi, kitty.
3.
Oh.
+4.
All right. So he is just about to get the fire out, and then you slam him with another magic missile, and he erupts in flame again. And he's like, ah!
Sorry, buddy.
Okay, who else? You have 2 more hits.
Hold on.
Go up to the orbs.
Yeah, should I hit the orbs?
Yes.
All right, let's aim for the orbs.
Okay, you're going to send the other 2, 1 towards each orb?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to make you roll damage on that one. I'm just going to say they explode. You guys, there's like, because it's dark out, it's nighttime. They shoot like these like tiny little glowing radioactive particles all over the place. And it's beautiful. And like the whole sky kind of lights up and you can see everything super clearly. And after you've done that, that kind of queasy feeling that you guys had before is gone. And then suddenly you see the burlap sacks disappear, which was just an illusion. And Ithawa and Iruta are sitting there on the sand.
So we do. Victory!
So Olga saves the day.
Okay, so with that, it's going to go back to the top to Zilmop. Now, Zilmop, you ran up the hill, and you've got this fellow, Johnny New York, Steak Knife is chasing you.
So, yeah, I want to bludgeon him with a staff, but can we maybe call it a night after this, after I beat him up?
Yeah, I suppose if we must.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit him with the staff.
Okay. Go ahead and.
Right. Strength and dexterity?
No, just strength.
Oscar's looking at us.
He's looking the other way.
All right. Here we go.
Starting the computer.
11 plus 3.
Plus 5.
Ooh, nice.
So, okay. 16. It hits. So go ahead and roll 2d4 bludgeoning damage.
Not fair.
What?
Not fair.
What's not fair?
Do you pick the highest one at least?
No, you add them.
Ooh, the first one was a 4.
On the floor.
Next one was a 2.
All right. Do you want to describe how you try to hit him?
Well, it's real brutal.
It's what?
The first one, I take the end of the staff and I hit him right between the eyes. And it catches him on his heels and he falls down the dune. And then the next one, I kind of smash it right over his head, like that. See what I'm doing?
Yeah. You got him. You got him pretty good.
He's done.
All right. You guys want to pause here and pick it up next time? Or do you want to keep going?
It's up to you, James and Heather. You're the, like Catherine, I guess.
I'm about to fall asleep, so. I'm pretty tired.
Let's ask the kitty.
Yeah, what happened? What was Oscar looking at?
He was staring at the wall, like a good cat.
Where did Oscar go? Bring him back.
I know it. He was cute.
There you go. Oh.
Going now.
Where is he going now?
He's looking at the wall over there.
Does he like to be let into your office?
Yeah, because I have this. Here, let me see. Do you see him sitting there? He likes to sit there because in the mid afternoon the sun gets right there. I have these curtains closed, but so he likes to sit there, and so that's like I just keep some blankets and stuff there for him to sit on because it's like his spot.
Oh, he's yawning.
Oh, he's sleepy.
Yeah.
How do you do that, Michael?
I just make images with my mind.
Okay, so when are we going to... Jimmy, and are you done? And Heather, you're done?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a yes.
So when are you not working 12 hours?
Never.
Somebody else quit this week, so...
What?
So somebody else quit this week.
Who?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. Too stressful. Maybe when I quit, which will hopefully be this year sometime.
Do you guys want to do it on Monday, February 1st?
I definitely won't be able to do it next week.
How about tomorrow?
Okay.
I can't. I'm gonna have to work late tomorrow, and like I'm gonna be working a lot like the next week, basically.
Okay. Yeah, like at least a week or two.
When do you want to do it?
Can we just do it the week after next?
What day?
I don't care which day. What's that week?
The 8th through the 12th.
Wednesdays are good for me.
Yeah, that's fine. I just can't do it in the next week because I've got all this stuff I have to do before this person leaves.
Okay. Then I will schedule for February 10th.
February 10th.
It's going to be forever before we do our main quest.
Sorry. Tell everyone at my job to stop quitting.
Somebody got my coworker got fired recently.
For what?
Because it's funny because it's like probably the only time where like it's like been explained to me why someone got fired, but yeah, he wasn't doing his work. That's why.
A very thorough explanation.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot.
When people are.
There's a lot more to it, but it's like, yeah.
So it wasn't because of a lack of work. They're not letting go people because you don't have enough work to keep them busy.
Nope.
Yeah.
Did he get put on a PIP before getting fired?
PIP?
They're a private, small company. They don't need to do that kind of stuff. Nope.
It's like impossible to fire people at a place like Raytheon, so I don't know. I'm not used to that being a thing.
Well, no, it's actually especially difficult to fire people in Bulgaria, which is where he is, and because they have you have to pay them, I think, for a year unemployment.
Oh.
All right, so next Wednesday then?
Yeah.
Two Wednesdays.
Right. Yeah. Two Wednesdays. Sorry. I'm going to be doing a fat next Wednesday.
A bet?
A test thing. Ugh, it's just stressful. I don't want to think about it.
All right, so long.
Bye.
Hi, Jimmy.
I love you all.
You're already asleep. I can tell.
Love you, too.
He didn't hear it.
It's okay. He knows.
Catherine, what the heck is your Instagram story right now?
Just thinking about Backstreet Boys.
Let's go check it out.
That. Oh, everybody.
Am I original?
I like the video of Chi Chi going over the horse poles.
Yeah, that was the best.
Is that real? Is that the real video?
Yes.
Wow. That was, beyond their time.
There's a lot of elements to unpack with that video.
Wait, you just recorded the whole video as your story?
No, I just recorded some key elements that needed to be unpacked.
What? Which song is it?
Everybody.
Backstreet's back, yeah. All right.
Do you remember when we covered that in Bliss?
I kind of do, actually.
No.
At Bethel?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
What is the name of this song, Catherine?
Called Everybody, parentheses, Backstreet's Back.
All right.
This is weird.
It's pretty great.
Art, Mom.
What?
I feel like art. When I was a little kid, the Backstreet Boys that were like the cutest ones were not in reality the cutest ones. Like Nick Carter.
Yeah.
He's ugly.
I used to really like AJ and I don't know why.
AJ has like the bad boy personality.
Yeah, that's why I liked him, because he was the bad boy.
I want to see them today. That's the real question.
But Kevin was actually the hottest one and no one knew.
I didn't know.
Changed when you changed from being like a 12-year-old girl to not.
I didn't even know any of their names except for Nick Carter.
Didn't Nick Carter start his own solo career? Or that's Aaron Carter.
Yeah, and kind of he's like messing up all the time.
I think Nick Carter did that too.
Yeah, but Aaron Carter had the more successful solo career.
Yeah, Nick Carter one time performed at the Music Farm, and it was really sad.
By himself. The Music Farm?
Oh my gosh. Look at Aaron Carter's tattoos. Have you seen them?
No.
Wait, this can't be real.
Wait, isn't one of them like white? Aren't they like white supremacists now or something?
They're like...
What? Okay.
The worst tattoos I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're... Yeah.
I love him.
It's like...
Wow, he looks really bad.
All right. I love him. I love the tattoos.
That's a fucking Airbnb.
Well...
Did he get an Airbnb tattoo? What?
Yeah.
Airbnb tattoo?
Charlie is better from his most recent injury, in case anyone was worried.
What was his most recent injury?
He literally must have...
He wasn't even really actually lame from
So I don't think I told you. I don't remember because it's been such a hectic week. But on Saturday... So Saturday I went to get a ride and he had like blood coming down his leg. And... It was like just this tiny little cut, but like horses bleed a lot, so it looked bad at first, and then it was just like nothing. But it was like he must have just literally stepped on his front foot with his hind foot and like scraped a bunch of skin off and whatever.
Ooh.
Horses are dumb and they do things like that. So then But it was like kind of a lot. Like it was big, even though it wasn't deep. And then it was okay. And we just cleaned it and wrapped it, whatever. But then on Sunday, he actually developed a fever.